G'day listeners, welcome back to the 2023 version of Here's Cheers, the QHA podcast. Now, for those of you who missed the previous seasons, I'm Bernie Hogan and I'm the Chief Exec of the Queensland Hotels Association. And basically, this podcast is for our members and all those people who have an interest in hotels, tourism, food, travel and hospitality around this great state of Queensland. And we even sneak in a few other people from around Australia. I know I've been a bit slack this year getting started. However, I have a couple of great interviews for you. Now, one, I am cheating using an interview I did at the end of last year with Dave Shillington of Prime Effect. Dave is probably well known to quite a few of you from his exploits on the footy field. However, I'm talking to Dave about his life after football and the terrific work that he's doing around the area of mental health, building resilience and positive mindsets. With the regular stresses that's in the hospitality industry, it was an opportune time to discuss that issue and the effects most people that experience it. Sometime in some way, many people do. So, and most importantly, we also talk about what the industry is doing about it. But first, I'm on the road again. It's courtesy of our wonderful sponsors of this podcast, Konami Australia and Simon George & Sons. And I get to take you to one of last year's winners at our Awards for Excellence. This time, I'm in Charters Towers at the Hotel Rix. Now, for those listeners who are not from North Queensland, I could tell you where exactly Charters Towers is, but that'd be giving too much away, and it's far better that you hear it from the locals. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoy making it. And remember, tell your friends about us, like us, rate us, wherever you get your podcast from, and share the podcast. If there is something that you want to hear from or somebody you want to hear from or an issue that you want to hear about, make sure you reach out to me at the QHA. Anyway, on with the show.
Welcome back to the QHA podcast. Here's Cheers. We've got a really interesting chat here today, and I hope so. I'm just about starting it, so we better make it interesting. Our guest that I have with me today is the one and only Dave Shillington. Dave, good to have you here.
Thanks, Bernie. Thanks for having me.
Now, many of our listeners out there being league fans, as they are in Queensland, you probably know that name. Dave is, of course, he's coming to us today in his post-footy life as the CEO of Prime Effect. But obviously, Dave, big career in NRL for, what was it, 6, 7, 8 years?
A bit longer, actually. I went around the field for about 12 years.
12 years, so, was yeah. It? Okay, yeah, yep. Right. Yep. Good, that's it.
I hung on there. I didn't think I'd last that long, but I did. Yeah.
The body held together. Yeah. That's it. That's the important thing. And since then, and I've caught up with Dave over the last few years and got to know your business, and maybe you might give people a bit of a snapshot. How do you go from NRL player, pro footy player, yep, into Prime Effect, and tell people a bit more about Prime Effect?
Yeah, it's been a wonderful transition, and people are generally interested to see how athletes transition out of sport into the real world, as we call it. But for me, finding something that I really love and I'm passionate about has made it a whole bunch easier.
Yeah,
not perfect by any means, but a whole bunch easier for sure. It's funny sometimes saying that I'm in well-being when I'm at doing like guest speaking things at like pub events, and they show like a highlights reel of me before I get up on stage. And some of my highlights reels includes headbutting people, getting invites.
Yeah,
and
yeah. There wasn't a whole lot of care and concern in some of those times.
No, that's right. Yeah. So I'm separating myself from that odd violence on the field. I truly care about helping people now, and I love it. And we're doing that through Prime Effect.
Yep. I probably didn't intro that well enough. Obviously, what we're talking about today is, and it's something that we've been identified over the last few years, it's sort of, and I don't want to call it a real COVID hangover type thing, but it is also that people are being far more comfortable right across Australia about talking about their mental health.
Yeah.
Whether that's people have a picture in their head straight away of it being a catastrophic event, or it's, it's about sort of, I always try to use that impression of people of, when you ever saw a kid trying to keep an inner tube alive, rolling, and they keep tapping it along, just keeping it on track.
Yep.
Often it can be everything think from that through to, sadly, a real catastrophic event.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're all talking about it, that's where we ended up talking with you and Prime Effect.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's been wonderful in a way, been forced upon us to really start paying attention to our mental health and to learn more about it as well.
Yep.
It's at everyone's best interest because, as you say, it's been a big couple of years. And what we know about stress, there is a hangover effect, right, where stress accumulates over time. And if we don't deliberately try and pull that back, wind it down, then it just lingers for a long time.
But there's a residual amount to sort of, you sort of bounce along it, you know what I mean?
Yep. Yeah, so we might feel a bit of a hangover, I guess, stress-wise. But taking a good practical look at it is very good. And in my time playing in the NRL, there was a huge, huge shift in how we viewed mental health.
Right.
And I started at the Roosters, the Chooks, back in 02. Mm-hmm. And you could imagine talking about mental health back then.
Yeah, not happening.
Like if you're not coping, you're feeling overwhelmed, you get laughed at, ridiculed, laughed at the change rooms. But then fast forward to the back end of my career, probably when I played for the Raiders in 2014, maybe the Titans 2015, around that time, that view had shifted enormously we embraced our mental health practices around that. Things like practicing gratitude every day at training to start the day, things like practicing guided meditation at lunchtime to reset after the morning's training session. They were things we did every day. Mm-hmm. And initially, when we got sort of education around it and they introduced it to our training schedule, we shrugged our shoulders and scoffed at it and went,
we're
big, strong blokes. This is not going to do anything. But we applied ourselves. Yep. And what was fascinating is you don't just feel better. It's not just a well-being benefit. There's also performance benefits to it as well. Mm-hmm. And so I talk about mental health a lot around performance.
Yep.
And for me personally, not being like foolish or anything, I don't do my mental health practices daily or weekly to feel so much happier, I guess. I'm happy enough. Yep. Not over the moon, but it's unrealistic to think you're always going to be over the moon. Happy.
And that's something that people also need to be comfortable with.
That's right.
You know, you've got to be comfortable with, there are times you don't feel exactly great.
Yeah, and that's fine. And what I do it is to improve capacity for performance.
Right.
And I'm talking about running a business as best I can. I'm very ambitious. Mm-hmm. But then also I want to have that time, energy to spend with my family too. I've got a wife and two kids and I can't just be single-minded working all the time and putting my energy into that. I need to put energy into them as well. So for me, it's not just about feeling happier. It's improving capacity to live life like that, I guess.
And it's something I talk about this when I do go to the gym. I always talk about I'm not there to be the best at exercise.
Yep.
I'm being the best at life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's the outside stuff. That's great. I mean, I think with Prime Effect, obviously it's yourself and let's talk a little few about a couple of the other services. And so things were firing off in my head as you were talking before.
Yeah.
It has moved so much when you, and I know you have other retired pros sports people, and Ben Mullins in there as well.
Yep.
Isn't it funny? As Ben being a captain of the Wallabies, you know, around your time.
Yep.
The captain of the Wallabies actually felt comfortable enough to step down from the last tour.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the only reason he said was, for my mental health isn't good enough.
Yep.
You know, and because his performance was not going to be up to the standard he wanted to perform at.
Yeah.
So, it really has changed. Back into the business world, I think that's vitally important that us as an industry,
yep,
and you deal with a lot of different industries, us as an industry, we've got to be able to look at ourselves and say, what's that tiny little 1% to make us even better?
Yeah, well, you guys have been at the front line, I guess, of COVID now for the last couple of years where regular staff don't want to come into work because they're afraid of getting COVID or they just feel overwhelmed generally through the uncertainty in the world.
Those stress levels,
You're exposed to the general public all the time, dealing with different restrictions. You can do this, you can't do that. So of any sector, you guys have definitely had it tougher than most. And that's lingering now with trying to get staff and so on as well. So to have those strategies that work for you, and I emphasize work for you, to be able to down-regulate that stress, to boost your mood and motivation and keep you going through those tough periods is vital. And that's why we wanted to work with QHA in the recent mental fitness program we did together for your members. And that was purely to benefit the members in that we wanted to give them the skills and strategies through our programs to get past that lingering stress.
And let's talk a little bit about that program because, I did it and a bunch of our members did.
Yep.
It's 25 plays in 25 days.
Yep.
And The first thing I noticed about it is it's it wasn't intense. You know, they're short, they're sharp. You can use them quickly in the morning or, you know, whenever your time may be.
Yep.
But explain to me a little bit about, because the thing that very quickly came to me is, how does it work, your services, I suppose in parallel? I think you used the term mental health first aid.
Yep.
It works in parallel with, you know, there are people who have serious mental health issues, unfortunately.
Yep.
And that's a real medical occurrence. Yeah, they have to end that. How do you work in parallel, I suppose?
Yeah. So we work in the prevention or early intervention space,
mm-hmm.
where we want people to feel their best. So the less likely, there's protective factors, I guess, protective practices to make sure that they can weather the normal stresses of life.
Yep.
But then early intervention as well, that's where mental health first aid training comes in.
Yes.
That's a nationally accredited course that has grown hugely in popularity over the last couple of years, particularly in the hospitality sector.
Terrific. And in a corporate setting.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a two-day course, so it's not like just a quick, you know, fix or anything like that.
Yep.
It takes a bit of a commitment. But every course bar none, everyone walks away from it going, more people need to do this. This is like a life skill, really.
Isn't that terrific?
And the whole idea of it is to, one, like, improve our literacy around mental health, so it's not like this overwhelming, overcomplicated
or frightening.
Topic. Frightening, absolutely. Yep. But then give people the confidence to be able to have conversations with each other. And if you see someone who's becoming a bit unwell in the workplace, you don't need to avoid them like the plague or anything like that.
Yeah.
You can have the confidence to go up and say good day, ask them what's going on, potentially provide some simple support, light intervention, but then also know how to talk about what professional help's available and encourage them to do so. So that's what it's about, prevention, early intervention. We stay away from treatment, of course, but whether you're looking for a short, sharp course or that nationally accredited one, there's plenty of options to benefit your workforce.
Yeah, and that's a real customer care piece, you know what I mean? We talk about a lot of that in our gaming area of the business.
Yep.
But it'd come right across the whole offering at most of our hotels, or it's accommodation hotels or your traditional pub, no matter where you are.
Yep.
It's I think that's the key part you said there, is just having the ability or the confidence just to enter into the conversation.
And the understanding of what other people are going through as well.
Right. A bit of empathy.
Yeah, empathy for sure. Every course, once again, people at the end of it go, Dave, I appreciate this course because I can understand my 17-year-old kid right now and the anxiety they go through. I understand that, how that's affecting them. Or I can understand this patron that's been coming in for a while and it has changed. Or my wife, actually, or my husband, you know.
Yeah.
And they understand things better.
Yep.
So that's a big thing. Make it less overwhelming, less overcomplicated.
So, obviously, now we're recording this whenever somebody's listening to it. We're recording this at the end of 2020, right at the end of 2022. And actually, I had somebody, one of our members, say to me yesterday, she said, I feel like 2022 has been the hardest year yet.
Yeah.
Now, 2020 was strange and unusual. It was a bit different and all that sort of thing. And it was hard.
Yep.
Don't get me wrong, but it was isolation was making it hard.
Mm.
2021 was difficult. Because there was a lot of changes, and for us as the QHA, we were unwinding a lot of things. And I think that stress that you're talking about was sitting in there.
Mm.
But she said 2022 was even harder because she said the batteries were low.
Yeah,
we've been battling for a long time, and she said I'm sort of glad it's going great. And she goes, I'm going great, it is, but I'm kind of glad that we're getting to the end of it. I want to talk about the next phase.
Yeah,
and you and I just chatted before we started recording on this. What was the term I used? It was after the grand final.
Yeah.
The after the grand final effect.
Mm.
We're going through a busy period here. Everybody can be up for Christmas, right? And we'll see this in every business around Queensland. Everybody's up for Christmas, you know. You're fired up. It's the busiest time of year. It's a bit of fun. Yeah, we're all a bit tired at times, but it's a bit of fun. Then the phone stops ringing.
Yep.
You know. Where do you see that? Is that a real telltale for you? You know, that's a time when your sort of services, et cetera, need to jump in?
Yeah, and what we really encourage people to do is be honest about how they feel, right? Because half the time they've got adrenaline, ambition, perseverance just kicking in, and they kind of ignore how it's affecting other parts of their life, like their sleep or their alcohol intake or their relationships like that. So you have a bit of an honest assessment about how you're going, and then be deliberate in changing that, shifting it, turning it around. And the simplest things we can do make a huge difference if, one, we do it, of course, and two, we be consistent with it.
Yep.
And as I said, they're all things that we used to shrug our shoulders at.
Yeah,
but,
sure.
But once we gave it a go and were consistent with it, it was wonderful for us performance-wise and well-being. And if we can just have a bit of a digital detox for a start.
Yeah. I saw that was one of the days in the 25 players. Yeah.
Yep. Remove that stimulation. Back in the day, of course, like everyone used to get over from work and just watch the news 6 to 6.30 and that was it. That was the only sort of news they copped during the day.
Yep.
But now people are getting it all day, every day, whether that's social media news or the actual news they're logging onto themselves. So removing that stimulation makes a huge impact for a lot of people. Getting the body moving as well, getting those positive brain chemicals around dopamine and serotonin, it's wonderful for us. And as you sort of pointed out before, you don't need to train to look better in the mirror so much, even though I do. but you could just train for your mental
health. It's a hard habit to get out of.
Your capacity. So, and I know a lot of people now that use that saying, I train for my mental health, and because it's wonderful for it. Then the other things like, reducing our drug and alcohol intake, or abstaining from it completely, spending time with our friends and family, having a laugh, those strong social connections.
Yep.
And then probably lastly, what you and I were talking about earlier, is a bit of reflection on what happened this year, and reflect on the good things too.
Yeah,
that might be you survived, you persevered. It might be that.
Yep.
It could be that your particular venue actually thrived. You know, professionally, it could be some great
grew,
things
changed,
there.
Offered new services. Could be all sorts of things.
Yep. Yep. It could be a great relationship you have right now with somebody. Mm-hmm. It could be your physical health. It could be anything. And then just reflect on that, appreciate it. And then lastly, to sort of get that motivation back up in the new year, start thinking about, well, those times are a great time to talk about what are your priorities right now moving forward.
Yep.
And so you think about your values.
Yes.
And that might be your physical health. It could be your relationships. It could be other things like your financial health. You're like, rightio, I need to get on top of this. And then once you get your values, what's important to you, then you can start setting your actions and your goals and things like that to get that motivation up and start moving forward.
I think that right at the beginning of that, the first thing that's really stuck in my head there is it said it's deliberate.
Yes.
It's a deliberate choice. I always talk about this. I probably annoy the hell out of my kids when I say, you choose your reaction.
Mm, absolutely. Right?
You get to it's a deliberate choice,
mm-hmm.
and that consistency. And that's where I think, even just the program I did in there, that 25 plays, is it's light touch.
Yep.
You know, and that's a great starting point for people. And that's why I sort of look at all of our members and I said, everybody's going to be on different levels, being able to, ready to go and do things. There are people who'll be laughing at this podcast. I've got no problem with that, That's cool. That's your gig, champ.
Yep.
We'll keep going where we are. Mm. But I just think I really like that the message is that, it's I suppose with all things, isn't it?
Yep.
Deliberate and consistent.
Yeah, absolutely. And any sort of like clinician, like a counselor, a psychologist, they'll say to you from the very first session when you go and see them that if you're going to start feeling better and make change, it's up to you. I can give you the information, but you need to go do it.
Yeah.
And so that 25 Plays program, for example, it's 25 ways to regulate your mood. That might be boost energy, be happier, down-regulate stress, however you talk about your mood. And so ultimately, you might have liked 1, 2, 3, 5 of those plays out of 25. And then if you can build those consistently in your life like that, it's going to make huge change. It's going to move the needle big time over the next weeks and months as you keep doing it.
And I think something that I did notice doing that there was it was some of them, because they came every morning. They come through as a text message every morning.
It's
go to my mobile, so it's very very personal. I was kind of delighted about the numbers that were in there that were you often didn't realise you already do.
Yeah,
And I didn't do all 25, of course. Yeah, I don't do them all day every day. But you look at it and you go, actually, you know what? I have done that before. Maybe I just need to be deliberate.
Yep.
So once a week, let's make sure I'm doing that action.
Yep.
Just to keep you moving.
Oh, for sure.
So I think it was terrific. Now, so for our members, and obviously, Prime Effect have been partnering with the QHA this year, and we'll be continuing on. If they look at this sort of program, go and check you out on your website, which
yep.
is, it's imaginatively primeeffect.com.au, isn't it?
That's it, perfect.
You know, go and check that out and get in contact with you, mate, and start that chat.
Yeah, oh, look, we're doing a variety of different styles of commitments with venues where yep. it might be a one-off mental fitness type program like we've been talking about.
Yes.
It could be the nationally accredited mental health first aid,
yep.
Which is very relevant right now. But for a lot of venues, we're coming on site more regularly, like monthly or bi-monthly.
Yeah, right.
And tackling really specific topics that we know are important to them. Things like we just mentioned financial health. So yep. we have a financial advisor that co-delivers that with us.
Terrific.
And gives us good strategies to make tiny savings in different areas of our life to get on top of things, knowing that that's going to reduce a lot of stress.
Mm-hmm.
We do one for nutritional health, physical health, and then different personal and professional challenges around giving, receiving feedback,
yep.
managing conflict, assertive communication, a lot of the things that if we don't get right, cause a big issue for yourself, for the workplace.
And they snowball.
Yeah, absolutely. So, that's a bit of prevention, early intervention, those sorts of programs as well for culture and workplace conflict.
And you found, you were just saying before, you found that some of your clients now turn around going, you know what, this is the kind of thing that may have prevented their own their own mental health suffering.
Yeah. Oh, I had a great conversation with a mental health first aid instructor yesterday who worked in HR all her life.
Yeah.
And a couple of years ago, she had to take time off for stress leave, had severe anxiety problem and couldn't keep coming to work. And then she discovered that mental health first aid course and realized that if her workplace had have had that training prior to her experience and anxiety, there would have been people at the workplace, one, that would have had normal conversations with her and checked in and saying, how can I support you moving forward? Conversations that don't need to be overwhelming. And then she would have known much more about what are those symptoms? What are the solutions? Like, what are the remedies? How do I get professional help? What would that look like?
Just give them a pathway.
Yeah, that would improve the likelihood of her seeking help.
Yeah.
And so she's really passionate about that course for all those reasons. And no doubt, some of your listeners are in workplaces where people have been on sick leave for stress this year and they will next year. So I'd certainly think there's different protective, preventative measures we can take to reduce the likelihood or frequency maybe of that.
Yeah, fantastic. All right, Dave, thank you very much for coming and joining us on Here's Cheers. It's been terrific. And, as I said, I recommend our members, it's good time to stop and think about these kind of things as we're starting the year. It's not New Year's resolutions because that sort of crap, because that gets forgotten on the 2nd of January.
Yep.
What I'm saying is this is a long-term thing. As I said, some people it's going to be more intense than others.
Yep.
It takes all types, doesn't it? So,
absolutely.
Dave, really appreciate the support you've had with us this year and good luck with everything there and hopefully we can keep this going for years to come.
Yeah, thanks, Bernie. Really appreciate it and love working with your members. So thank you very much.
Cheers, mate. Welcome back, listeners, to Here's Cheers, the QHA podcast. And I have one of my favourite things to do in this time of our podcast is actually get out and talk to our publicans on the road. It's fantastic. So I have the absolute pleasure of being in Charters Towers. Now, a lot of you may not know where Charters Towers is. Luckily, I have two locals here who can enlighten you. I'd like to welcome to the podcast Jane and Noel Jesberg. Welcome, guys.
Thank you, Bernie. Glad to have you here.
Thank you, Bernie.
So that's Jane and Noel, obviously. Now, first things first, Jane, tell people where Charters Towers is.
So Charters Towers is, I like to say, I guess, 130 kilometres or 120 kilometres west of Townsville. And I guess we border cattle country and mining. So this town
is... It's an interesting spot, isn't it?
It is an interesting spot. Country-wise, I guess it's lots of hills, it's green, for the most part during the wet season. We're still keeping the seasons down.
It's super green at the moment.
Yes, yes, we've fortunately had some beautiful rain.
How many people are in Charters Towers?
12,000.
It's 12,000?
Yeah, 12,000,
okay.
Yeah.
And it was a gold mining town, wasn't it?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Back in those days, there used to be about 90 hotels, 90 pubs in back in the day. Yeah, 90.
Jeez, it would have been hard to turn a living then, wouldn't it?
Jeez.
It would have been far more than 12,000 people.
Oh, back then there was, yeah. Pub crawl would have been an interesting couple of days.
It would have been hard work. Absolutely hard work. Now, So, and as I said, we're here at the Hotel Rix. I hope I said that, but I have now. Now, your family's been here for quite a while, and pub owners, yeah?
Yeah, my brother and I are third generation publicans. My grandfather bought the White Horse Tavern in 1952.
Right.
And mum and dad obviously passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Dad 2000, mum about 8 years ago. And now my brother runs the White Horse Tavern, and I now run the Rix.
Yep.
So we're definitely locals.
Terrific. Yeah, I know, absolutely. And it's always good to hear that the White Horse is still operating in here. Yeah. And you've branched out here. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So we bought this in September 2014, and Jan and I have virtually been running ourselves now for 5 years. We sort of separated 5 years ago, running each hotel, and so we've officially split. Like financially last year. So,
yeah, great.
Yeah, so it's been a big journey together, my brother and I.
And now give the listeners a picture of the hotel, Jane. What if they're thinking about the Hotel Rix, what do we got here?
Okay, so we've obviously got our Beast and Barrel, which is our award-winning restaurant, and we've got our cellar bar, which has got a underground cellar in it, which is dates back to the 1800s. Some of the brickwork, of course, is still, we've stripped it back, and it is the original from the 1800s.
It looks great,
And obviously our gaming room and our back bar, which is kind of a bit of a meeting point for after workers and sort of a bit of a thriving little area on the weekends, I guess, for those just looking to have a relaxing drink.
Wonderful. And it's a nice feel. Obviously, you've you renovated just before, 2019, 2020, you were renovating?
Yeah.
You go.
No, go right ahead. They're sharing a microphone, folks. It's my fault, not theirs.
He did say to me, I don't want you to have a heart attack, but we've bought the Rix. And that's kind of
that sounds like the conversation between a whole bunch of married couples going, yeah, I don't want you to get upset about this.
Yeah, it was very run down, the place we bought it. It was like, I think it was close for 18 months.
Right.
And we walked in, and there was just drinks on the table, like they just walked out mid-service.
Oh, wow.
And it was probably 6 years it took us to renovate it all. So we slowly renovated because we had the White Horse and the Rix at the time. That's all we could afford to do at the time.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we finally had the restaurant fully renovated, and COVID hit in 2020.
Yeah, you were saying, you finished renovating on the Friday and we're done by the Sunday
That's
or something?
That's right. We did a soft opening for some women in mining on the Friday. Night, and we're like, woohoo, we're up and running. Mm-hmm. Then Sunday we were closed.
Yeah, it was a tragic day for a lot of us, trust me.
A lot of people, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, that's terrific. Now, actually, let's just talk quickly about your restaurant in there. So now you won a couple of our awards for excellence last year. Now we had, it was the best hotel bar, regional?
Yeah, best regional hotel bar.
And?
Best regional restaurant.
Best regional restaurant.
Yeah.
Now, having just sampled the restaurant, I can say you're doing a magnificent job, folks. I don't judge them all, unfortunately. But tell me more about the restaurant in there. Obviously, trying to get some locally sourced as much as you can.
Absolutely. I think, Bernie, from the outset, we believed that, like many people, we in the bush. We travel, and when you go away, you want to go to the best restaurants and you want to experience what the city has.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess our belief was that, there's a level of sophistication that's underestimated in the bush.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think we sort of went all out, and we thought obviously put our money there and thought, let's do this.
Put your money where your mouth is, absolutely. Yeah.
And we kind of wanted to offer good pub food, but something a little bit fancy.
Yes.
And something that also people wanted and were drawn to in the city, mm-hmm. but on a level here that was price compatible with the other businesses.
Of course.
Because we knew we couldn't price ourselves out of the game.
Yes.
And I think, too, we also wanted to just encompass that old-fashioned hospitality, manners, all those things that are still very important in regional communities. So we wanted to hold on to that heritage.
Yep.
And we were nervous, weren't we, about doing being a steakhouse. Noel you know, we no believed we could. I was like, oh, steakhouse in the heart of cattle country. Are we sure?
Selling ice to Eskimos. Yeah. That's it, isn't it? Yeah.
Anyway, what we did was we met with a lot of graziers. We canvassed their support. We asked their advice. So yes. I think we had solid advice from our locals.
Great.
And we went forward that way. And I guess Noel sort of drove it that way. And we...
I think it was important when we started off to be known as the best steakhouse in town. Cause
yeah, right.
I wanted people coming to town, so where do you go for steak? I wanted them to say the Ricks.
Automatic. And that's always going to be the answer.
Yeah, and sort of we are now. It's good, which is we tried hard to be, and sort of, and that's what we pride ourselves on, I suppose.
And you were saying over lunch there, you're saying that a lot of you're saying the real old time cattlemen around, they're going to come and get a steak from you. That's a huge plus.
Yeah, it is. Certainly is.
It's a huge honour.
Yeah, it is. That's what. Yeah, especially in the bush, it's great to be known as the best steakhouse in town.
Yeah, and those guys, they know their steaks. They know how it works. You know,
that's right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's important.
They do.
So. Now, I mean, the pub itself looks just wonderful. It really does in there. Yet it looks very different to your typical country pub. Where'd you come up with the style ideas? Was it picking ideas out of other pubs you'd seen, other things you'd seen, or?
Yeah, you know? We did a lot of travel ourselves, but we got a design from Brisbane, Simone Bar, to give us initial the tiles, all that sort of colouring sort of thing.
Yes.
And then sort of, the colours and the carpets and everything. And then sort of we went our own way in the restaurant. Initially, it was sort of like a little cafeteria feel in the restaurant.
Okay.
But we sort of went our own feel through
there. That was the original design.
That was the original design. But all this was
obviously
a beautiful Brisbane designer.
Oh, look, I think, and you can see that there's that colour palette all through the whole place.
Yeah.
They're trying to work. And it looks terrific.
Yeah.
Excellent.
I think then we just felt we wanted to make use of, obviously, the brickwork that we knew existed in there. And Noel did a lot of the work himself. He stripped the walls back. And we kind of wanted... We put a lot of thought into... Noel didn't as well, high and low tables. Obviously, in a small community, people are very conscious about, can someone hear me next door? You know, I want to have a private conversation. So we gave a lot of thought to, having segregated areas and... A mix of high
it's
and low tables.
Using those spaces, and I think that's something, and I was talking about this with you earlier about when the QHA went down to Adelaide, and we noticed a very distinct difference about how they used their spaces. And you're right, it's some of the alcoves, mid-level tables, not all the high tops or that cafe level, mid-level tables, and allowing your space to be used at different times of the day for different things.
Yes, absolutely. And that's, of course, that's something that we're growing into. We've got a wonderful space called the Parlour.
Yes.
And, it's always booked out for family events, meetings, baby showers, hens.
Something
parties.
For everybody. In a country town, you've probably got something for everybody. You've got to do it.
Absolutely.
Now, you've got accommodation here.
You have 10 rooms.
10 rooms in there. And were they were always 10 rooms, or have you converted some?
No, it's sort of like there's a manager's quarters and sort of 9 rooms with an adjoining room type thing. Another, there's probably 2 manager's rooms out there now.
Yeah.
And sort of, we're nearly finished renovating them. We've just sort of
terrific.
Halfway through them now. So,
well, you've just had your biggest need for accommodation this last weekend, isn't it? Yeah, the Goldfield Ashes.
Goldfield Ashes was a very big weekend. It was the first time in 3 years it was run without restrictions.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, so it was crazy busy.
Dear Lord, all right.
And how many people do you have in town then?
I think it was close.
Did they say 5,000?
5,000.
Oh, well, how many teams? You said it was something like, it's over 100 teams.
Yeah,
200
teams.
No.
20-odd.
Yeah.
That's for those of you thinking about that for a minute, 200 teams coming to play cricket, and that's an enormous number of people.
It's the largest cricketing carnival in the Southern Hemisphere.
It is. Yeah. That's enormous, and for a town that isn't really that big...
Even Macca set records.
But, you were saying even just to accommodate everybody, there were people camping under trees at the golf club.
Yeah, 3 teams had the golf club with under tents.
That is unbelievable. But that's part of the community, isn't it? That's the way you build your communities that way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's one of those events that I think stays with people and they return probably because of the atmosphere, the friendships that are formed.
Yep.
There's been teams coming 50-odd years.
Well,
really.
Georgetown Joes have stayed here in this hotel over 25 years, they said.
My Lord.
And we bought the place, they said, can we...
We're back on. Yeah. But isn't that great, though? You know, isn't that great? And as you were saying, you know, it meant that you could have full bars, you know, full restaurant... And the whole town's experiencing that same uplift at the same time.
Yes, fantastic.
Yeah, that's the generous thing. And, I mean, it's a great start to the year, isn't it? Like, it really boosts the community.
Yep.
And it's just, I think it's an... it just brings a great vibe, and it's like young and old mixing together. I mean, we probably sat around the 300 mark in here, which we found was comfortable our business.
Yep.
And you know, everyone was full. All the pubs are full, and they do a pub crawl and they share. And I mean, it's one of those weekends, I guess, which is it's just wonderful to be a part of, and you can see a community coming together.
And that's what those sort of events are. Multi-day events are just worth their weight in gold for all our people in the tourism industry. Keep working on those is what we need.
You know, absolutely. Those multi-days are.
It just makes all the difference. Mm. You know, it's not just the in and out type thing. It's a real experience of country Queensland.
It's a trickle for everyone. Like, I mean, the grocery stores, supermarkets,
coffee shops,
the service stations. There isn't anyone who doesn't
miss out.
Nobody misses out, which is wonderful for little community towns.
So now we've you've bagged a couple of the QHA awards, which you know we're delighted that you did. Talk to me about next year. How are you winning your next one?
Dry age meat, I think.
There we go. Okay, all right. So we're changing up. That's a bit unusual for. Nobody else is doing that here in Charles Towers?
No one's doing it in this region, I think. So it's just we're copying off sort of a couple of the Brisbane sort of pubs, what they're doing, and we're going to try and do our own spin on it and just bring something different to a rural town, I suppose.
Sourcing the beef locally?
Yes, definitely. We still haven't done our total research on it. We're still sort of working through it, but... Yeah, definitely try to get everything global.
Marvellous butcher, Tom's Butchers. He's a great, you know, young businessman who's really come on board and we absolutely love collaborating with him because he is trying to, he's like a little bit like us as well. He's trying to source different things and bring new things to the town. So we're hopeful that we'll continue our collaboration with him and move forward that way. And it is exciting. We kind of always want to just bring something a little new, and it's important to keep fresh.
Yeah.
As you well know, Bernie, in business, you need to keep reinventing yourself to some degree.
And I think that's really important, vital for you. You're dead right. You're trying something new and different, but bringing your local businesses along with you, you know. You know, you don't want to be the person charging off in a direction and look over your shoulder and go, oops, no one's with me.
No. And I think this town's ready now for, you know, other businesses are doing amazing things in town, like W. Titley & Co. have just opened this incredible Western Wear store on the highway there. And, I mean, they're bringing... People are coming from Townsville to buy in their store, then they come to us for lunch. So, you know, it really is. Like, it's... I feel like at the moment... there are a lot of businesses in town we're all trying to, I guess, you know, bring something new to town and create new avenues.
Isn't it good to see, though, you know, for many years, and you guys will experience it at different times as well, you know, you see country towns that have droughts, or there's a lot of people leaving town for whatever. You know, driving out here today, you know, it's green, there's plenty of cars on the road, there's people out, and it's obviously that there's... It feels like the country Queensland's got a little... after some pretty lean years, got a little skip in the step.
Yeah, definitely. And I think COVID too has made people explore their outdoor more. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of drive-through traffic from Townsville. They just come out for lunch on a weekend.
How good.
And it's good when the retail businesses are firing like they are, like that also helps us with business. And also the tourism opportunities out here at the moment. You know, we've got Texas Longhorn Cattle, lots of opportunities, the museum. You know, there's exciting things for people to come for a day trip from Townsville. And I think that wasn't always possible prior to COVID. I think people were just thinking...
They weren't quite. And I think that's something that COVID has done. During the pandemic, when we were told, OK, you've got to, you know, stay in Queensland and holiday here, two things happened. Yes, people went and experienced it, but I think a lot of Queenslanders actually realised we got a lot of things that in my local area I can sell. Texas Longhorns in Charters Towers, you know. People may not have thought about that, but it's something that's marketable. I've seen, you know,
camel farms in, you know, near Bow Desert, you've seen, yeah, you know, people actually rediscovering waterfalls up and down the coast. Yeah. That's, yep, terrific, yep, you know, and it means people are out there experiencing what a, you know, terrific place we live in.
It is. And I think too, like, a lot of people from the cities who once travelled overseas see more that elderly, more retired set, and not just the caravanners, but those with perhaps who had, you know, you know, they're quite...
Yeah, they're ready to travel for experiences.
Yeah, and I think they're finding out what Western Queensland has to offer as well.
It's good to see.
Which is beautiful.
Good to see. Now, actually, one other question I wanted to ask you, Noel, in there. So, wait, what inspired you to move the... you had a drive-through and it's completely gone?
Yes. Yeah. It's just virtually linked to, for us to get, of course it's a small little bar area,
yeah,
sort of footprint here, like for us to sort of make the restaurant bigger, we had to sort of get rid of the drive-through area and build it all in.
It's a good lesson for people though, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you see a pub, when you see your venue, don't be constrained by what it's always been.
Yeah. Yeah. But we add the parlour area, we add that space onto the pub as well. So
yep,
the parlour area is sort of, that's the only part we've actually added on.
And oh, okay.
This is all the existing hotel. So
yeah, right.
Yeah,
so that's that area back in there, is your private dining,
yeah,
in there. Which, yep, and I can tell you, listeners, if you do get the opportunity to come out here and, you know, as a decent sized group, if you make sure you get in there, it's a beautiful room. You've done a great job. And, you know, I think there's a lot of things about this. You know, the hotel with you got the hanging barrels. You've got everything in here, guys, and it is a real testament to you and your efforts in here.
Thank you.
I'm really impressed with the hotel.
Thank you.
Well, I've really enjoyed my time here in Charters Towers, and I'd like to thank you both, obviously, for two things. One is for your terrific hospitality today, but also you know, really lifting their standards and being you know, a participant in our awards for excellence, and you know, we look forward to seeing you next year back down in Brisbane.
Thank you.
You know, gonna raise the raise the trophy again.
I'll bring some dry aged meat down with
you. There we go. Absolutely. Well, you know, you don't have to convince me. It's got to be our anonymous judges. Don't worry. Problem is, they'll hear this, and I'll have about four of them lining up going, "Oh no, we'll be good. We'll go to that one." No, that's wonderful. Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us on the QHA podcast. And we look forward to catching up again soon.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bernie.
Pleasure.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Here's Cheers, the QHA podcast. I hope you've held on to the end here. If you or your staff want to get in touch with Dave regarding their mental health first aid programs, or just simply to get some ideas on how you can help, I'm sure they'd be happy to hear from any of our members. And from the Jesbergs, you have all learnt that if you want to get to the Goldfield Ashes and Charters Towers, you better book early. Look, I hope you enjoyed those discussions we've had. It's always great to get out and see our members in their hometowns, in their communities, and we absolutely love it. Thanks again to Simon George and Sons, along with Konami Australia, that keep this pod going. We couldn't do it without you. Stay tuned for more throughout the year, and here's cheers.